This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Hey, thanks for hanging with me. I didn't think it was appropriate at any point last week, not knowing the time between posting a podcast or recording a podcast and it being posted and you hearing it with the news on Damar Hamlin. Fortunately, here we are many days later, and the news has been very encouraging on Damar Hamlin. We've gone through an entire full week 18 of National Football League play. The Bills-Bengals game understandably was canceled. I don't love the way the NFL ultimately decided to handle the ripple effects from a logistical standpoint as it related to the cancellation. To me, if the Bengals and Bills play each other in the divisional round, that game should not be played in Buffalo. That game should be a neutral site game, just as there are neutral site elements to a projected AFC title game involving Chiefs, Bills, or Bengals. I see no reasonable explanation why the Bengals should have to play at Buffalo in an AFC divisional playoff with some of the other adjustments that were made to the playoff schedule and how the NFL sort of made things up as they went along after an unprecedented situation, but there were some rules in the rule book to handle unprecedented situations, and the NFL did not follow them. So getting ahead of myself a little bit, again, I'm just happy Damar is healthy. That's the most important thing. I didn't want to do a podcast last week, and it would have been just tough for me to not talk about other football elements while we wondered about the health of Damar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills after what we saw on Monday Night Football. So thanks for understanding why I didn't do a podcast last week. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Bill Curry Ford. We'll be talking about the last podcast we did was about potential coaching changes, teams that could change coaches. And we're going to do an update on that and just take a quick look at the playoffs. I know I always say quick. I'm going to try to be quick today. I really do appreciate your time. Give me a minute to tell you about Brandon Legal Group, full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. I hope you're never in need of legal assistance, but if you are, as a non-attorney spokesperson, I'm here to tell you that Brandon Legal Group services the greater Tampa Bay area, and they are full service. And full service can mean many things. So when you are in that position and you live in the greater Tampa Bay area, you can reach out to Brandon Legal Group for a free consult to see if their idea of full service covers what you need. 844-4BLG-4ME gets you the free consultation, or you can visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. I thank Brandon Legal Group for their nonstop support of my podcast and Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan, and I just communicated recently as we wrapped up another fantasy season. Bill Curry Ford is committed to my fantasy podcast leagues again in 2023. And a little over a year ago, I went through the car buying experience at Bill Curry Ford directly with their general manager, Sean Sullivan, and you can do the same thing. So when you are in the market for either a new Ford vehicle, a pre-owned Ford vehicle, or a non-Ford make and model that is currently listed as inventory on the Bill Curry Ford lot, I welcome you to reach out to Bill Curry Ford. You ask for Grace Thomas. You tell Grace Thomas you are a listener of mine. You say, I want to have the same car buying experience that Todd Wright had. I want to deal with the general manager, Sean Sullivan. And Grace Thomas will book you a time to come in to talk to Sean Sullivan about what you want and how you want to do it. That's how this gets done. And if you have any problems getting a hold of Grace Thomas at Bill Curry Ford, you can email me and I will have Grace call you personally. All right? You can use the same email for this podcast. We'll get this done. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry in Tampa. Again, my email is Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. If you want to play in a Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, we have one 4 weeks away. It's our very popular annual good versus evil format. Nine hole setup as easy as possible for scoring. Nine hole setup with unique challenges that make it difficult to score. It's at Heritage Isles Golf and Country Club on the Saturday morning before the Super Bowl. We'll do Super Bowl squares. We have a good time. I have some really good things to give away. And I keep my tournaments very affordable for my players, unlike charity scrambles. There is no fundraising. Therefore, it is more money in your pocket. All I care about is the golfer experience. I am raising no money for anyone. I care about your experience at my golf tournament. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. If you want information on Todd Wright Tour 40, amazing. We're up to our 40th event. That's February 11th. I'm on Twitter at ToddWright2121, as well as Instagram, ToddWright2121. Can I just get the loser Lovie Smith thing out of the way? Because there's predictable backlash from some about loser Lovie Smith being fired. I'm not going to go over all the reasons why I accurately have said for years that Lovie Smith is a loser and Lovie Smith is not a good hire for any pro or college team based purely on the numbers. But I just want to update the numbers now that the 2022 football season is over. And I accurately predicted, as I posted on Twitter, February 7th of 2022, quote, clearly the Texans do not listen to the Todd Wright Toddcast. However, you can listen to my podcast from nearly 3 weeks ago when I fired the warning shot about today's terrible head coaching hire in Houston. That podcast, which posted on January 19th of 2022, was here we go again. Lovie Smith still sucks. Everything I said then still applies, but let's update the numbers. This is very simple. Lovie Smith has done nothing without Ron Rivera, who I'd like to point out is a minority head coach. And he's a minority head coach currently with Washington. He's also been an assistant coach. I just want to point out he is a minority coach. All right? Since Super Bowl 41, where Ron Rivera was Lovie Smith's defensive coordinator, Smith's record as head coach or an assistant in four jobs without Rivera. He continued in Chicago without Rivera. Lovie insisted he got paid himself, didn't get any additional money for Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera was left unemployed by Lovie Smith. So there was the rest of the Chicago run for Lovie Smith without Rivera. Then Lovie surfaced in Tampa as a head coach, then went to Illinois to be their head coach, and has since gone to Houston for 2 years. For those saying, well, he only got 1 year. Well, he was there for 2 years. He was defensive coordinator and associate head coach, and then he was promoted to head coach before his predictable firing, as I accurately predicted, after this season. Smith's record as head coach or assistant in four jobs, minus Rivera since Super Bowl 41, this is up to date now, is 85, 134, and 1. 85, 134, and 1. Lovie Smith is 49 games under 500 since Super Bowl 41 without Ron Rivera. Let me update Ron Rivera's record as head coach or assistant in three jobs since leaving that NFC champion Chicago Bears team that went to Super Bowl 41. Rivera was an assistant for the Chargers, then became head coach of the Carolina Panthers, and then became head coach of the Washington Commanders. Including this year's 8-8-1 mark, Rivera's record as head coach or assistant in three jobs since leaving Lovie Smith is 145, 121, and 2, including an appearance in Super Bowl 50. So, Lovie Smith, without Rivera, 49 games under 500. Ron Rivera, without Lovie Smith, 24 games over 500 with a Super Bowl 50 appearance. Those arguing about Lovie Smith's treatment need to do their homework because you're uninformed. That's why I call him loser Lovie Smith. That's why I predicted it was a bad move for the Texans. That's why I predicted his firing, and I was right. Check, check, check. Let's move on and talk about some of the other jobs. We talked about the openings in Carolina. We talked about the dismissals in Carolina, Indianapolis, and Denver the last podcast. We predicted the termination to open up the Houston Texans job. By the way, Texans learning their lesson. Had they fired Smith early, they'd have the number one pick. This is why college programs, once they make the decision they're not going forward with a head coach, they get rid of a head coach so he can't win games to change the narrative or anything about the new direction of the college football program. The Texans should have done the same thing to guarantee them the number one pick and what was best for their franchise going forward, rather than Lovie Smith short-circuiting that and not doing what was best for the ball club. So Lovie Smith is out. Cliff Kingsbury is out. We called that shot. Good for Cliff. Fully guaranteed money for the next 4 years. Cliff would look great on television. Cliff may just sit out for a year and wait for the best possible job. Especially if Sean Payton takes a job. I'm not saying Cliff is Sean Payton, but if Payton takes a job, Cliff Kingsbury could sit back and Kingsbury would be in play for some good college jobs as well. Now, look, I'm not saying if one of the top five programs in college football needed a head coach, and Michigan might, is Cliff Kingsbury the guy? I don't know, but I think you have to consider him just because of his work with quarterbacks and offense, because that's what you need nowadays. But I would certainly think Cliff Kingsbury would be in play for a number of higher profile Power 5 college jobs, and I don't think he's done in the NFL. I don't know what's the right fit for him, but I don't think he's done. Depends on what he wants to do. Again, he's got fully guaranteed money for 4 more years. It's going to take a lot. Probably bringing more than just bringing back Bruce Arians to make some decisions to change things in Arizona. Looks like Sean McVay is going to walk away. We talked about that on our last podcast. Just a matter of what TV deal can he get now. I'm guessing it will either be the Amazon deal that he didn't take a year ago, and Amazon would pay Kirk Herbstreit to not have a ridiculous travel schedule next year. I don't think Kirk would put up a big fight to be paid to go away. Or Fox is located in Los Angeles. Does McVay want to travel every week, or does he just want to sit on the desk? That desk may need someone new. Terry Bradshaw has been there a while. Jimmy Johnson has been there a while. Howie Long has been there a long time, still does great. Love Mike Strahan, but it could use a young face who's recently won a Super Bowl, who understands offense and quarterbacks like Sean McVay. If McVay doesn't want to travel every weekend and do games, as a game booth analyst. I brought up Pete Carroll potentially retiring. We won't know anything about that until after the Seahawks finish playing, since they made the playoffs. We won't know anything about Todd Bowles until the Bucs finish their run in the playoffs. We won't know anything about Staley with the Chargers until the Chargers have their run in the playoffs. Staley hurt himself by having Mike Williams get hurt in a meaningless game in Week 18. We won't know for sure about Mike McCarthy until the Cowboys are done in the playoffs. I don't buy what Jerry Jones said this week, that if the Cowboys lose again, in the first round of the playoffs, that Mike McCarthy will go forward as the head coach. I am on record as saying he won't, because this may be Jerry Jones's last chance to get Sean Payton. And if he doesn't get Sean Payton, letting Dan Quinn get away, in addition to not getting Sean Payton, is not how Jerry Jones wants to handle this situation. I brought up others where staff changes are being made. So there was obviously some credibility to what I talked about with Nashville and Atlanta. Atlanta needs a new D-core. Atlanta could make a big move in the offseason from a personnel standpoint. I really don't know if you can say Desmond Ridder is your franchise quarterback. I don't think you know. So they may try to go get somebody else. Arthur Smith needs a new defensive coordinator. It was odd the way Dean Pease got there in the first place. So Dean Pease has now retired from coaching twice in the last, 2.5 years? Because he retired from the Titans so he could then take the Atlanta job when Arthur Smith left Mike Vrabel's staff. Speaking of Mike Vrabel needs a new OC. This is why it would work out very well if the Falcons fired Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith could go back to being the offensive coordinator for Mike Vrabel, since Mike Vrabel was told, fire your offensive coordinator. Sometimes the world doesn't work that perfectly, but the combination of Vrabel with Arthur Smith, granted Dean Pease was a defensive coordinator, he has since retired again. You wonder if Arthur Smith went back to work for Vrabel, would Dean Pease suddenly be like, hey, I'm available. I retired, but don't worry about that. No, I'd love to work with Arthur again for you, Mike. But Mike Vrabel clearly was told to make changes to his staff. The Titans took that next step backward that they've been taking every year, right? They've gone from AFC championship game to AFC, losing in the AFC championship game to losing in the AFC divisional round to losing in the AFC first round to losing in a play-in game to get in the playoffs. That's not the right direction for any franchise. So that's why Vrabel was told to make staff changes, because if they don't work, then he's out. So I think he's on a very short leash to start next year. Josh McDaniels, there is more going on there. He's the only reason Tom Brady would want to play for the Las Vegas Raiders until Tom Brady is signed to play somewhere other than Las Vegas. I think Josh McDaniels is safe. If Tom Brady is not playing for the Las Vegas Raiders, Josh McDaniels is on a hot seat with the Raiders and a short leash next year. I brought up Dan Campbell just because of – I said this recently about Dan Campbell, and sure, I was impressed by what the Lions did the last couple of months. Dan Campbell strikes me as a coach who's at his best when his teams have nothing to lose. When they do have something to lose, they aren't that good, which is why I don't put a lot – into the Lions being a real contender next year. They did all these things the last couple of months when they were one of the worst teams in the National Football League, and their rallying cry was, well, we got nothing to lose, let's go show them. And in a game that was very winnable at Carolina a few weeks back, they didn't show up because suddenly they had something to lose, and they did. And they lost to Carolina, a team that had fired their head coach and traded away their best player. Yeah. So I get that Dan Campbell is staying in Detroit. I would imagine his OC will stay in Detroit, because if it wasn't for Dan Campbell, that OC doesn't really have a coaching career. There's a big connection there. And that pretty much covers everything, at least going into the playoffs. Some quick thoughts on the playoffs. Normally, I'm really excited about the National Football League playoffs. I see a lot of bad matchups in the first round of these playoffs, and I'm still not a huge fan of the 7 teams per conference. The Dolphins are the latest example that 7 are too many. The Dolphins aren't a playoff team. There's nothing about the Dolphins-Bills game that excites me. Nothing. To me, that's, you know, the Bills-Bengals game was understandably canceled. I guess understandably postponed, and then later the decision was made to be canceled. I still don't understand why a Bengals-Bills divisional playoff game will not be at a neutral site. That makes no sense to me. But by virtue of the Bills and Bills not playing their Week 17 game, the argument is, well, they lost a chance for a first-round bye. You just got your first-round bye. You're playing Miami. That's your first-round bye. I think same with the Bengals. They got a first-round bye against the Ravens based on who the Ravens are going to trot out there. This isn't the same John Harbaugh Ravens that were so dangerous in the playoffs and a thorn in the side of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady for a while. And they may be down to their third-team quarterback in this game. Doesn't feel like Lamar's going to play. Not that that does anything based on Lamar's history in playoff games. So I don't, as big as I've been on the Seahawks all year, I don't think they can beat the Niners in Santa Clara. So the only games to me that look interesting, and I might have left one out here, Bucks-Cowboys, Bucks being an underdog is ridiculous. My money's on the Bucks, and not with the points. I'll take the money line there. Giants going to Minnesota. There's so much that screams a warning sign for Minnesota in this game. And the Giants have done enough to lead me to believe that they can play well in a game like this and be the better team for 60 plus minutes. You know, it's funny. I'm talking down Miami and Minnesota in the postseason. If you're a fan of major sports teams in either of these sports markets, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Minnesota's postseason success, whether it's the Minnesota Wild or the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Minnesota Twins, or the Minnesota Vikings, is awful. Awful recently. Miami, the Marlins won the World Series in 2003. Since then, unless Dwayne Wade was involved, nobody in Miami's done anything. The Marlins haven't. The Panthers haven't. The Dolphins haven't. And Hurricane football has stunk. Dwayne Wade, 3 rings. Good job, Dwayne Wade. And the Miami Heat actually got to an NBA Finals without Dwayne Wade just a few years ago, right? Was that the bubble final against the Lakers? Might have been. Kind of a lot was going on in the world at that time, but I seem to remember that. So yeah, the only games I find really intriguing, and Jaguars-Chargers. I really don't have an opinion on that one. It feels like more of a no-lose game for the Jaguars, but I don't think the Jaguars can go on a Bengals-type run in the AFC playoffs the way some are saying. Well, no one saw the Bengals thing coming last year. It's true, but I don't see the Jaguars doing that. But I could see them winning a game. And then the Chargers firing Staley to get Sean Payton. I could see that. All right, that's enough. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. I went 24 minutes. I apologize. Thank you for listening to me this long. I appreciate it. Email me, write.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for understanding why I didn't do a podcast last week. All the best to Damar Hamlin and his family. the Bills family and the National Football League. Let's have some fun with these playoffs. We'll talk to you soon.